Hello, and welcome to GCSE Physics Essentials. I'm your host, and today we're diving into one of the most spectacular topics in the entire OCR specification, stars. Now, I know what you're thinking. Stars are beautiful, they're mysterious, but how on earth do I get marks talking about them in an exam? Well, that's exactly what we're going to crack today. By the end of this episode, you'll understand stellar life cycles, fusion processes, and most importantly, you'll know exactly what examiners are looking for when they ask you about stars. This is topic 8.6 in your OCR GCSE physics specification, and it's absolutely crucial because it brings together forces, energy, and nuclear physics in one amazing cosmic package. So grab your notes, get comfortable, and let's explore the universe together. Let's start with the big idea. Stars aren't static. They're born, they live, and they die. And the path they take depends entirely on their mass. Think of it like this. A star's mass is its destiny. First up, the main sequence. This is where stars spend most of their lives, about 90% of their entire existence. Our sun is a main sequence star right now, and it's been happily fusing hydrogen for about 4.6 billion years. But here's the critical exam point. Why doesn't it collapse under its own gravity? The answer is equilibrium. In a main sequence star, there are two opposing forces perfectly balanced. Gravity pulls everything inward. That's the gravitational force trying to crush the star. But fusion in the core releases enormous amounts of energy, creating radiation pressure that pushes outward. When these two forces are equal, the star is stable. This is called hydrostatic equilibrium. Now, here's where students lose marks. You must name both forces. Don't just say, forces are balanced. Say, gravitational force pulling inward is balanced by radiation pressure pushing outward. That specificity earns you the marks. So what's actually happening in that core? Hydrogen nuclei, not atoms, nuclei, because the electrons have been stripped away by the intense heat, are fusing together to form helium nuclei. This process releases energy according to Einstein's famous equation E equals mc squared. A tiny amount of mass is converted into a massive amount of energy. This energy keeps the star shining and provides that crucial outward pressure. Now let's talk about what happens when the hydrogen runs out. This is where the life cycle splits based on mass. For low mass stars like our sun, and by low mass, we mean anything up to about 1.4 solar masses. The story goes like this. Hydrogen fuel depletes, fusion slows down, radiation pressure drops, and gravity wins. The core contracts and heats up. But here's the twist. The outer layers actually expand and cool, turning the star into a red giant. It's red because the surface is cooler, and giant because it's absolutely enormous. If the sun became a red giant, it would swallow Mercury, Venus, and possibly Earth. In the red giant phase, helium fusion begins in the core, creating heavier elements like carbon and oxygen. But stars like the sun can't fuse anything heavier than that. They just don't have enough mass to generate the required temperatures. Eventually, the outer layers are gently puffed off as a planetary nebula. Nothing to do with planets, by the way, that's just a historical name. What's left behind is the hot, dense core, a white dwarf. Over trillions of years, it will cool to become a black dwarf, though the universe isn't old enough yet for any black dwarfs to exist. Now, high-mass stars, those with more than about 8 solar masses, they're the real drama queens of the cosmos. They burn through their hydrogen fuel much faster, become red supergiants, even bigger than red giants. And here's where it gets exciting. They have enough mass and temperature to fuse elements all the way up to iron. Carbon fuses to make neon, neon to magnesium, oxygen to silicon, and finally, silicon to iron. But iron is the end of the line. Fusing iron doesn't release energy, it absorbs it. So when the core becomes iron, fusion stops dead. With no radiation pressure, gravity crushes the core in less than a second. The outer layers collapse inward, then rebound off the ultra-dense core in a catastrophic explosion, a supernova. Supernovae are so energetic that they outshine entire galaxies for weeks. And here's a crucial exam point. This is where elements heavier than iron are made. Gold, silver, uranium, all the heavy elements in the universe were forged in supernova explosions. So when a question asks where heavy elements come from, the answer is supernovae, not just stars. After the supernova, what's left? If the core is between about 1.4 and 3 solar masses, it becomes a neutron star, a city-sized object so dense that a teaspoon would weigh a billion tons. If the core is more than 3 solar masses, gravity is so strong that nothing, not even light, can escape. It becomes a black hole. Right, let's talk exam technique. This topic appears in both Foundation and Higher Tier, and it's worth significant marks, especially in 6-mark extended response questions. Common mistake number 1, confusing the life cycle pathways. Students often say the sun will become a supernova or a black hole. It won't. The sun is low mass, it will become a red giant, then a white dwarf. Only high mass stars go supernova. Mistake number 2, getting the forces backwards. I've seen students write, gravity pushes out or pressure pulls in. Gravity always pulls inward. Radiation pressure always pushes outward. Get this right. Mistake number 3, talking about atoms instead of nuclei. At stellar temperatures, atoms don't exist. Electrons are stripped away. So it's hydrogen nuclei fusing, not hydrogen atoms. Mistake number 4, not linking heavy elements to supernovae. Stars can fuse up to iron, but anything heavier requires the extreme energy of a supernova explosion. For extended response questions, structure is everything. Start with the protostar, clearly separate the two pathways based on mass, and use the correct sequence for each. Examiners are looking for main sequence, red giant or supergiant, and then the correct end state. Use the term equilibrium when describing the main sequence, and always name the forces. Let's test your knowledge with some quick-fire questions. Pause after each one and see if you can answer. Question 1. What two forces are balanced in a main sequence star? Answer: gravitational force inward and radiation pressure outward. Question 2. What is the energy source in a main sequence star? Answer: fusion of hydrogen nuclei into helium nuclei. Question 3. What is the end state of a low-mass star like the sun? Answer: white dwarf, eventually black dwarf. Question 4. Where are elements heavier than iron formed? Answer: in supernova explosions. Question 5. What happens to a high-mass star's core after a supernova? Answer: it becomes either a neutron star or a black hole, depending on mass. How did you do? If you got all 5, brilliant. If not, go back and review those sections. All right, let's wrap up. Today we've covered the complete life cycle of stars, from protostar to final remnant. Remember, mass determines destiny. Low-mass stars become white dwarfs. High-mass stars go supernova and leave behind neutron stars or black holes. The key exam skills are: name the forces in equilibrium, use the term nuclei, not atoms, separate the two pathways clearly, and link heavy elements to supernovae. This topic connects beautifully with forces, energy transfer, and nuclear physics, so expect synoptic questions that bring these ideas together. Thanks so much for listening to GCSE Physics Essentials. Keep practicing those exam questions, and remember, every atom in your body except hydrogen was made inside a star. You are literally made of stardust. How cool is that? Good luck with your revision, and I'll see you next time.